This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Let's go!
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Bingetown TV. I am Paul, and with me are Brian and Jimmy. And today, we are hitting you guys with the first episode of our new series covering Disney Plus's The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or the Fat W's, as I like to call it. Good abbreviation. We're here to talk about episode one, titled New World Order. We're very excited to get some more Marvel content, and it seems as if this episode has laid the foundation for the aftermath of the blip. You know, WandaVision was 99% all happening in the Hex of the Sword compound, but with this show, we get a lot of different settings and a lot of different internal and external dilemmas, you know, with both Sam and Bucky.
Yeah, for me, hi, by the way, for our MCU audience, I wasn't on WandaVision, but I'm Brian. If you listen to Bingetown TV, you know me. I'm very excited to dig into this MCU stuff because I think there was a lot of hate on WandaVision, and I may have been the most positive about that show, and I didn't get a chance to talk about it. But I'm really excited for The Falcon and The Winter Soldier. I think we have two really strong lead characters in Bucky and Sam. I'm excited. You know, this episode is definitely a little bit of world building, and it almost reminds me of The Magicians, how season five started without Q. Almost the entire plot revolved around the absence of Quentin rather than the adventures of the characters. And I feel like that's a little bit what Sam is going through here. Just that strife with filling the vacuum left by Steve Rogers.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that you said that. And also, with Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it feels very comforting to me. WandaVision was technically our first MCU thing back. And I would say that I was one of the higher ones, too, I guess, compared to Luke. I think when I graded, I was the second highest. But Falcon and Winter Soldier just brings me back. I feel like I'm watching the typical Marvel movie. And when I say, like, cookie cutter or whatever, it's just their template that they use. Not that's a bad thing at all. It just felt good. I'm happy to be back with Falcon and Winter Soldier. I think this is going to be a strong series. Not that WandaVision wasn't, but this just feels like MCU's back to me.
It's a little bit more straightforward. Like what you were saying isn't a bad thing. WandaVision was literally the first of its type of show ever. So, you know, that was a little all over the place. This, it feels like Civil War, you know, it just throws you in there in the action and it, you know, the Falcon's just doing his thing. It feels good.
That one episode of WandaVision where I think it might've been episode three, actually, because that was the episode that really grabbed people and got them hooked. But it was the one where we got the flashback of Monica Rambeau waking up in the hospital when everybody was coming back from the blip. And I really enjoyed that because it kind of welcomed us to this new Earth post the snapping and these people coming back. But WandaVision, just the way that the series was, couldn't really highlight what's going on Earth now that all these people are coming back, like billions of people. And I feel like this is the show where we can really focus on what is the culture, what are the problems that all of these people are going through now that everyone's back.
Yeah, and again, that's interesting that you said that too, because back on the original schedule for the MCU, it was supposed to be Falcon and the Winter Soldier would be released and then WandaVision. And WandaVision would actually be released right before Multiverse of Madness. So I feel like if they had their way and COVID didn't mess things up a little bit, that this Falcon and Winter Soldier would have been first to ease us back into, like you were saying, the total MCU aftermath of the blip.
Yeah, and that kind of brings us into the first scene, the opening scene, which is one of the biggest aftermaths of the blip and everything that happened is Cap is gone. And it's Sam, you know, like ironing his shirt, looking at the shield that he was given. And you can hear in his head, he's thinking about the lines he had with Cap. You know, Cap said to him, how does it feel? Like it's somebody else's. It isn't. So
was that first scene with him looking at the shield, was that supposed to be on the same day, like as the Stark funeral? Was he dressed in a black tie?
Yeah, I believe it was, but it was weird because the next scene we get is, you know, him in like a military aircraft after the title.
Yeah, I would have to check it again. Is it is it supposed to be right before he goes to the Smithsonian to give back the shield? Because he wears the suit that time too.
He does have the shield too in its bag. So it is definitely before the ceremony. So it looked like he was, he was ironing his shirt. He wanted to make sure he looked good before when he was giving a speech. But after the title sequence, it cuts to this military aircraft. And this is the action that I was talking about.
Yep.
You know, Sam is in there. He's getting a debrief from, whoever is in charge there. And he's telling Sam, we're going after this criminal organization called LAF. They were targeting Captain Vasant or something like that. I'm just going to call him Captain V. Basically, they lost contact with the captain's aircraft and they know he was being targeted. So we need you to go in, check it out. We need you to secure the captain and you cannot be seen flying in that zone. You know, no treaty violations. So obviously this is a covert, op.
He just says you got to keep it subtle. And Sam's just like, yeah, dude, I got this. Is anything but subtle, mind you. But it's like you said, Paul, covert thing. They're flying over Tunisia, heading toward Libya. Just U.S. military cannot be seen as being associated with this operation. And let's just talk about the action sequence, because you want to talk about a contrast between the start of WandaVision and how everybody was just put to sleep by it. And they give us action right from scene one in this show. And I was pretty satisfied with this action sequence. Honestly, it kind of reminded me of that scene in Iron Man 1, like the first time Tony takes his suit out for a spin and he kind of has that that interaction with Rhodey. It's the aerial sequence does it for me. The suit is dope. The Falcon suit is so cool. And I like his little like red wing. It's called the Red Wing, the drone that he has. That thing is super cool. I was all about this.
It's funny because in the comics, Red Wing is an actual Falcon. He has a telepathic link with him and he hangs out with him. But they brought Red Wing in another movie, whichever one it was. But badass scene. I read something about 25 mil per episode put into this series. So they're not cutting any costs here. Everything looks phenomenal. It just looks so cool, especially a little bit later when we get into the actual, when he's being targeted with the missiles and he's flanking, he's moving. It was just great.
Yeah. Any scene where there's Falcon just doing his thing up in the air, the camera work is just so cool. I don't know how they shoot it, but it looks convincing as hell. And I mean, he's doing all types of stuff too. Like, just flying up to the captain's plane and then realizing it's hijacked, like him just flying up, chilling and looking in the windshield. Like that's so cool. And they also, when he was getting the debrief, said, you have an intel officer helping on the ground. We find this to be this guy called Torres. And he's just basically on the radio, giving him a heads up of where he is, what's going on.
Boots on the ground, Lieutenant Torres. And he's important because in the comics, he will eventually take on the Falcon mantle. So that could be important. If Falcon, if he takes the Captain America mantle towards the end of this season, could be that we have another Falcon maybe showing up.
So the Falcon itself is a mantle in the comics. So people go to be Captain America and then someone fills that vacancy as the Falcon.
Yep.
Okay. I got a really good vibe from Torres from the beginning. He seems like that hero type when he was trying to take on the Flag Smashers guy? I really got a good read from him. But to conclude the action sequence, they save this Captain Vasant, and then we get Sam working on his suit with Torres just at like a coffee shop in Tunisia.
I was getting some vibes of, Torres. I wasn't thinking he was going to take over, but I thought, wow, he might be a good sidekick, because in the scene you're talking about, they're at the cafe and Torres is saying like, hey, you might want to rewire that here, because Sam's trying to fix his gear and Torres is just trying to help. He knows what's going on, which is wild. And we get some background. Sam has been with the Air Force for a few months now. I think it was 6 months, he said. And he made a joke, every time Ops touches it, it gets all glitchy. So he likes working on himself. So he's been with the Air Force for a few months. So that kind of puts the setting. And he does say it later on in the speech. This is a few months after the return of the blip. Just a few things from that, initial action scene. Georges St-Pierre, he is so cool. The mixed martial artist, he is a very, very intimidating bad guy. And seeing him fight was really cool. Even though
making his return from, it was Winter Soldier, right? Or was it Silver War that he was in?
Oh, he is making his return, isn't he?
Yeah. So his character is, okay, so I'm not French. So B-A-T-R-O-C, is that Batroc?
I don't know.
Let's just say Batroc. So George St. Pierre, and the guy's name is George Batroc. And he's a minor Cap villain from the comics. He comes in time to time, you know, whenever Cap needs someone to kick someone's ass. But yeah, he pretty much was a small villain in one of the past movies and is making his return. And again, he got away. So he just comes in and out. And the unit, what was it, LAF or something, the unit that he was working with, I was looking into that. I couldn't find anything for that. So I just think that they need to give them a name and it won't be anything, at least for now.
So, yeah. And that brings us to LAF was what, that was the organization that kidnapped Captain Vasant. But we find out from Torres that it seems to be the bigger overarching organization that could be our bad organization for the series is called the Flag Smashers.
Right.
Kind of like whips out his phone. I guess he has an app that they use to secretly pick out meeting sites for them. You know, they have a little insignia and Torres could locate it on his phone. And he just says to Sam, you know, these are the guys you got to watch out for. They're bad news. These Flag Smashers. And essentially what this organization is, they think the world was better during the blip. They want a world that's unified without borders. So he says, you can see how this could appeal to the masses. And Sam essentially just says, you know, keep an eye on them. Don't engage. But like, keep your ear to the ground. Monitor them on social media. And then
I was just going to say, I thought that was really cool. I mean, that just made me like Torres so much better. He's a smart, resourceful guy. And he's telling Sam, he's teaching Sam about like his enemy.
Oh, yeah.
Also, quick question. So I was a little confused. Is LAF and the Flag Smashers, they're separate entities?
Yeah, I believe that LAF with GSP coming in is literally, let's just get a quick, nice action scene to start the series. Again, he got away just like he did in the last one. So if they want to bring him back, they can. But I doubt he's going to be anything huge.
I mean, I was just nervous because I was like, man, this LAF organization, they must have some funding because how many fucking helicopters do they have? They blew up like six or something like that. Ridiculous.
Well, yeah, the captain that was briefing him said, you know, these guys are pretty high powered. So it seems like they have some resources. But like Jimmy was saying, I'm not sure if they're going to be like a mainstay or just someone that they call back to. It's just like the bad guy that they can easily beat up. I'm not sure. But at this little coffee shop scene or whatever, the conversation starts to shift towards Steve Rogers, because I guess this Torres guy is kind of just keeps his ear to the ground with social media stuff. And he's just saying, you know, there's a lot of speculation about what actually happened to Steve. And he jokingly says, some people think that you flew him to the moon and he's just staying there secretly. And he passes it off as a joke, but then he's like, you didn't do that, did you? And Sam kind of gives this cryptic, you know, don't worry about these moon related conspiracy theories. And then he abruptly says, I'm off to DC. He asks what for. He's like, moon related business. So Sam is off to DC. And this is where we get that scene with him kind of giving that obituary speech for Cap or Steve Rogers, really, at the Smithsonian. And this is kind of symbolic. It was a surprise that he immediately in episode one is rejecting this mantle of Captain America. The whole thing is he's giving the shield to the Smithsonian. And he's not taking it himself. Yeah, I was pissed too.
I was so mad. I was like, Cap literally waited all that time. After going back in time, he waited all those years to give you the shield. And you're like, nah, I don't want it. You sound like Jon Snow. I don't want it. Like, Jesus.
I think it is interesting. And it doesn't have to be a conversation that we have today. We have plenty of episodes to go over it. But it is interesting to me that he chose Sam and not Bucky to be the next Cap. Now, in the comics, Bucky does become Cap too for a little bit during after Civil War when you think Cap is dead. But he's really good friends with both of them. We know Winter Soldier / Bucky is a little effed up. Maybe he can't deal with that shit right now. But it is a little sad that Sam didn't pick up the mantle. I kind of figured the trajectory of the season was going to be that he says no, and then eventually he'll take it by the end of the season. And we know that, Paul, if you're pissed that he didn't take it now, you're going to be more pissed when you see the end of that episode.
I was just about to say, the repercussions of Sam saying no and not taking the mantle is just, you see it at the end. You get this fucking Joe Schmo coming in there.
And we get a nice little cameo from Rhodey. I mean, I know that they said that we were going to get some cameos, and I'm happy with that. He had a nice conversation with Sam, asking him pretty much what we're thinking. Why aren't you taking the mantle? he actually tells me, I think that you would be the cap that we need right now. You know, and it was a really good talk between the two of them. But you could just tell Sam has that feeling, like he said in the very beginning of the episode, that it's just not his shield and he can't. It's a burden. It's you know, you got to live up to Captain America.
I think Sam is less thinking about it as a mantle and more like Captain America is Steve Rogers. Without Steve Rogers, there can be no Captain America. But the entire country is telling him the opposite is true. Like the entire speech, he even acknowledges we need new heroes suited for the time we're in. And he's kind of saying like, maybe it's time to ditch Captain America and give us something new. But everyone's like, no, we need the symbol of Captain America back. Like we need this unifying force.
To go off that quote, B-Toms, when he says like, we need heroes one suited more for the times, he also says, you know, symbols mean nothing if not for the men and women inside of them. You know, he picks up the shield, he says, you know, this thing has never been more of a symbol, but the man who was that symbol is gone, which just frustrates you more because who the hell is the guy holding the shield at the end?
That's really good foreshadowing for the end of the episode, because if you guys know anything about US Agent or that guy who ends up being Captain America, he's not going to be the best Captain America. So.
Yeah, so we get a few things here. We get Sam handing the shield off, and they're putting it in a glass case. You said this was the Smithsonian? Is that what this was?
Yeah.
I believe it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So, you know, somebody saying, like, you know, thanks for coming forward with the shield. It was the right decision. Like, shut up. No, it wasn't. And then, you know, Rhodey comes over, and they have that nice talk. Asks them, you know, why didn't you, you know, take the mantle? Sam's keeps going back to what he says the first time he touched the shield, which was, you know, it feels like somebody else's, which, you know, guess what? Every time you get new shoes, they feel weird. You break them in, though.
He's mourning his boy, man. Like Brian was saying, it's definitely about the person. He looks up to Steve so much and he loves Steve so much that, you know, he's Captain America. He doesn't want anyone else to be Captain America, and he doesn't think anyone should be.
Mm-hmm. That scene, the one line that Rhodey had that I thought really helped with the setting was, the world is a crazy place right now. Nobody is stable. Allies are now enemies. Everything's torn apart. You know, the world needs somebody to fix it. So
it's a new day, brother. We'll be in touch. And Rhodey dips.
So the next scene we get after that little conversation, we cut to this very, very nice building. It almost looks like a mansion. And this man with a lanyard and a badge is walking through saying like, oh, thank God that meeting is over. You know, oh, I can't go out to celebrate. Oh, I got to go home. And it cuts to a bunch of men in suits, all these Russians walking by. They look like bodyguards protecting somebody. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, what looks to be the Winter Soldier busts through this marble wall and just starts taking everybody out.
Such a badass.
Yeah. Long story short, kills everybody. As he's killing the last guy, he's saying, you know, Hail Hydra. And then, you know, you look over to your left and you see that man with the lanyard, and he's just fiddling with his keys. He's nervous. He can't get through. You know, sorry, I didn't see anything. Winter Soldier
shit in his pants.
Yeah. Lifts up the gun. Boom. Bucky wakes up on the floor sweating. Just from that nightmare.
It was a nightmarish flashback to the time when he was the Winter Soldier. But yeah, so that even brings me to, it's interesting that the title of this show is The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because you think about it, I thought the show was lining up to have Sam take on the moniker of Captain America, so no longer be the Falcon. And I kind of figured that this would be Bucky stepping up into the hero role and kind of shedding that Winter Soldier essence about him. But the name of the show is exactly the opposite, focusing on the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So all the bad of Bucky.
Yeah, I think you did nail it. I think that will be his trajectory towards the end of the season. But for now, he's got to deal with his baggage.
Yeah, and that baggage requires him to go to therapy, which is our next scene. And she's asking him, are you still having nightmares? No, I can tell you're lying. Like, what was it about? No, I didn't have one. She goes on to say, like, you're a civilian now. And with your history, the government means no, you're not, you know, gonna relapse and go crazy and attack people.
Yeah, so they actually said the therapy was a condition of his pardon from the government. So this is mandated therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I just want to say he got off pretty damn easy, because think about our boy Ant-Man, who gets put in house arrest for helping out in Civil War. Winter Soldier's killing some mother truckers, man. An actual enemy to the United States, and they're just like, all right, listen, do a little therapy, you're good.
Well, Bucky also had the ins with Steve Rogers. I'm sure he put in a good word as his BFF. And, you know, you got to be sympathetic to a man who's 100 years old and just out of time and was clearly brainwashed. So,
yeah.
Yeah, he goes on to explain what he's trying to do, which is, you know, reconcile with everybody while he was the Winter Soldier. And he goes through what he just did with this woman called Sarah Atwood. She was a Hydra pawn and he helped her get in the power. She abused it after he stopped being the Winter Soldier. So, you know, he wants to make amends. And then he goes through this list. He has these three rules with a therapist to make amends. Rule one, you can't do anything illegal. Rule two, nobody gets hurt. And rule three, and this is the big part, you have to say, you know, I am no longer the Winter Soldier. I am Bucky Barnes and you are part of me making amends, which B-Toms, to bring it back to your point, which I didn't even think about, he's trying to shed the Winter Soldier title, like you're saying. And now that you're saying it, like, why is it called the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, not Bucky? So that's interesting.
Well, for now, that's what we know him as, you know, that's what the fans know him as for now. I mean, obviously when we first meet him, he's Bucky, but for the longest time, he's been the Winter Soldier. That's my opinion.
Yeah. This makes me think he's going to have some type of reversal of character where he's going to start to embrace being like the Winter Soldier or something like that. And maybe not what he's done in the past, but just like having the powers and stepping up.
I mean, isn't that kind of what Black Widow did? Like, she pretty much told everyone about her past. Yeah. And then was just like, listen, I'm Black Widow, and embraced it. One thing I wanted to say about Bucky's list here, he has on the list L. Kaminsky. That's an 80s Marvels writer. Len Kaminsky, just a little Easter egg. We have H. Zemo, which is Helmut Zemo, and will be the big bad this season. There was one other Easter egg that was just for, I think it was like an artist in the comics, but that was pretty much it on there.
And, you know, this is all part of the therapist trying to help. And she's telling him, you know, like, open up more. You know, some people can be trusted. Let me see your phone. You don't even have 10 numbers. I'm the only person you've called all week. You're ignoring the text from Sam, which was the big part, which was like, what the hell? So it seems like he's just a loner right now and he can't live with his own thoughts. But he goes on to say, you know, this is new for me. I didn't have like any time to deal with anything. You know, I had a little calm in Wakanda, but other than that, I went from one fight to another for 90 years. That is unbelievable when he puts it like that.
Crazy. It's unbelievable.
And when she asks him, what do you want? And he says, peace. I thought he was serious. And she was like, nah, it's utter bullshit. And she goes on to say, you know, I was a good soldier. I saw a bunch of dead bodies. I know what you're going through. I know how you can be closed off. And it's a personal hell. And it is a very hard personal hell to escape from. So she says, you're free now. Take advantage. And he's like,
yeah, she reminds him that you have your mind back. You got pardoned by the government. These are good things that you have going on. And like, now your life is yours again. So go out and live it. But you're also telling that to someone who's from like the 1930s. He's just a complete fish out of water. He doesn't know anything except for this life of war and hardship. So it's a tough spot to be in.
I mean, you definitely forget about, and we'll get into it when he goes on his date, but he's been, like he said, he's been in all these fights as viewers. We have seen him in all these fights over and over and over. We haven't even really gotten the chance to see him deal with life the way Cap did, where he's like, oh, shit, man, I'm freaking 90 years old or 100 years old. Like, how the hell does this world work?
And I think so. I'm trying to think about it in the big picture, in the grand scheme of the MCU. Like, I think for better or worse, these two are going to be our new Captain America. You know, he was one person, but I feel like these two are going to be some of the main heroes for the Avengers going forward. And I like that they're getting the opportunity to flesh out their characters and add layers to them. So we get this background. So next time we see him in a movie, you know, these characters mean more to us. Bucky, every time I saw him in a movie, I thought of him as just an extension of Cap. You know what I mean?
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah. Really well put.
So that will take us to right from Bucky's therapy, where his therapist just rings him a new one and tells him that he's a loner, has no friends. We see Bucky meeting up with his only friend that we know of. And it's this old Asian guy named Yuri Nakajima. And he comes up to him. He's having a dispute with a neighbor about the trash. But he's like, yeah, come on, Yuri, like, forget about it. Let's go out to lunch like we always do. So
not any neighbor. Unique. It's like Monique, but with a U, you know, just being unique.
But he says, he says something like, it's Wednesday. We always go here on Wednesday. So this is like a relationship. This is like Bucky's friend, I guess, really the only one that we know of. Yep. And they're at this kind of like a sushi bar or whatever. And Yuri, my guy, Yuri, he's just like, you should ask her out. It's a cute server behind the bar. And Bucky's like, I don't even know how. Yuri asks him out for him, gets Bucky a date. And then we get this weird scene where he kind of looks at this green moki, I think it is, just like an Asian food dish. And he kind of goes back on this Vietnam flashback where he's reminded of his son who we learned was killed while working abroad. And the police say it was a case of wrong place, wrong time. But Yuri's always had this gut feeling that there was something more at play. And he's like, you know, the part that pains me the most is that I'm never going to find out what happened to my son. And we flash to Bucky, and Bucky looks a little bit uncomfortable. And we find out later why he's so uncomfortable. At this part of the episode, I did not put those dots together that Yuri was the father of the person.
As soon as he said, you know, he had a job with a consulting company, was working abroad, and then showed Bucky looking like he wanted to, like, you know, jump off a bridge, then I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Just some cool lines there real quick was in the beginning, Yuri was like reading the newspaper and say, hey, nobody made it past 90 this week. Bucky goes, so young, what a shame. And they also talk about Bucky saying, you know, you can't just ask her out. It's a dance with these things. I haven't danced since 1943. Damn, dude, he really is old. All right, so after we get Bucky looking all sad, it cuts to Delacroix, Louisiana. Delacroix? How do you pronounce this?
I think it's Louisiana near New Orleans, so that's French. Delacroix.
Delacroix. Right. Okay, so we see Sam driving in Delacroix. And he's going to see his sister and his nephews. And, you know, he gets back. Uncle Sam is back early. There's hugs all around. So it shows the ship. And the name of the ship is Paul and Darlene. And then we go on to learn that this ship was owned by their mother and father. This is where they grew up. So I'm assuming their parents' names were Paul and Darlene.
Yeah, this whole episode we're putting together that the sister, Sam's sister, has been keeping this Ma and Pa, like, little fishing market operation afloat while Sam's been away playing soldier. Not playing soldier. He's been a damn good soldier at that. But yeah,
and
she's a little
bit blipped.
Yeah, he's been blipped. But the sister, you know, she's been doing it all herself while raising two kids. And the whole strike, Paul, like you said, is the sister wants to sell the boat to make some money for the business, but Sam will have nothing of it. Like, that's their childhood boat, memories, nostalgia. And she's refusing to take Sam's help, you know, do it herself. But Sam insists.
That was an awesome line. When are you going to let me borrow those wings, man? As soon as you give my sister back that $100 you owe her. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah,
he's just going around. He knows everybody. We learn a little bit later, they split ownership of the boat. So Sam's doing everything he can to keep it. He doesn't want to get rid of that. Exactly what you're saying, nostalgia.
Yeah, and this isn't a huge deal, but in the comics, he's from Harlem, New York. So they just, for whatever reason, they decided to put him in Louisiana for the MCU. And it's also funny that I read that literally the Marvel Comics writers put this character, his sister, in the comics as a small role just so they can say Uncle Sam from her kids.
Really?
Just to have that name for Sam at some point in the comics.
As Captain, like, a funny America thing to do. And Uncle Sam. That's so funny.
Yep.
And basically this scene ends with Sam saying, hey, you know, let me set up an appointment. Like, I have some leeway now. I'll try to get you alone. Then it cuts back to Bucky, and this is him going to his date, brings her flowers, and she's like, what an old-fashioned thing to do. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, this is the right thing to do.
This is so funny. This girl asks, like, the most normal questions for, like, a first date. Like, what's your family like? How old are you? And, like, every normal question he cannot give a normal answer because he is the most unusual human ever. And when she asks him, like, how old are you, straight face, 106, she's like, what the fuck is this guy telling me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's goes up on with the gloves? You know, I have poor circulation, not like robot arm.
That's really funny to me. Like, what do you expect? Say you're Winter Soldier or Bucky or whatever, and you're going on this date, and you're just like, oh yeah, by the way, let me just take these gloves off first and show you that I have a metal arm. before we make any decisions if you want to go on a second date.
That would be cool. If I went out with a girl that had like a cybernetic arm, I'd be all about it. But I could see how that might make the Tinder scene a little bit more difficult.
Come on, dude. Bucky's old fashioned. You know, he'll take it slow like a gentleman. So he's got a few dates before he has to take off any gloves. And, you know, she's just trying so hard to have a nice, normal first date. Like, oh, do you want to play a game? Pulls out Battleship. And then she's like messing with him. Oh, I'm reading your mind. He's like, please don't
Professor
do that.
Professor X. Professor X, dude. He's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, confirmed. Yeah. Reading your mind.
I was just saying, like,
it's confirmed.
I know she was making a joke, like, oh, I'm reading your mind, but that's the worst possible mind to read with all the things that has corrupted it and the things he's done. You don't want to read his mind.
Please, no. But then this girl mentions Yuri. Obviously, Yuri's like a regular at her restaurant and says, hey, it's so great. Like, ever since his son died, he's been really down. It's so great that you're hanging out with him, cheering him up. And this is where Bucky just abruptly leaves this poor date behind and he goes to see Yuri. First off, like, Steve Rogers would never pull that shit, leaving a girl in the middle of a date. Like, come on.
You got to be a gentleman.
Got to be a gentleman.
You got to walk her home first.
Yeah. Can't assume walk the mantle of Captain America before you become a gentleman.
Yeah, walk her home, give her a kiss on the cheek, and then go see Yuri, all right?
Kiss on the cheek, bro. What are you moving way too fast?
Kiss on the hand.
Well, I thought you were going to say kiss on the cheek. You got to do way more than that. But that's what I thought. You said earlier, Bucky, he's an old-fashioned guy, so he takes it slow. Gloves don't come off until the third date.
At least. We did learn that she asked, do you have any siblings? She said, I have a sister. So
yeah,
he tells a sister that I'm assuming is very old now, but still alive.
Or dead.
Well, the only reason I assume
he
was alive.
Yeah,
because
he said, I have one. Yeah.
Yeah, and when she asked about his parents, he said that they passed.
Right.
So, I don't know. Maybe she'll come into play later. That'll be cool. That was a quick little nugget that they dropped.
Yeah. But, so, the next scene, he abruptly leaves, and we find out that he was going to see Yuri. And Yuri opens the doors like, oh, Bucky, what are you doing here? He says, oh, I forgot to pay you back for lunch. But we kind of see through the open door that Yuri has this shrine set up to his son, you know, lit candles and everything. And the son is the same person that Bucky killed in his flashback. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, the girl he was on a date with said the worst thing for Yuri is that he just doesn't know how he died.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what makes Bucky actually leave. So obviously Bucky is going there feeling like shit, getting ready to confess. And then he looks at Yuri and he's just like, I can't do it. You know, and at the same time, it is very weird because it's like, how can you explain it? Like, listen, I was brainwashed. I killed your son and I've been hanging out with you this whole time because I've been meaning to tell you that I did it.
And
you know,
it's like
you're going to make the dude feel like more shit.
His intentions are good. He wants to tell Yuri so Yuri himself can feel better and feel like there's no loose ends. But at the same time, to make Yuri feel better, he's going to have to break this news and basically hurt him. So it's this impossible situation.
I mean, you're kind of effed up if you're Bucky making friends with the dude, if that's your intention to eventually tell him, you know, that you did it.
Was he friends with him when he was younger? Or is this
I'm pretty sure the thing is that he just found him. It's because he looks at his list and Yuri's on the list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right after the scene when he walks away, he does pull out the list and Nakajima is circled. Like he's been trying, it looks like, to make amends, but he can't. Just like the way that they were looking at the newspaper saying, like, nobody's made it past 90. I didn't know if they knew each other when they were younger or if he knows Bucky's true nature or not.
Oh, that would be pretty cool if, like, they've just known each other since the 30s. But I also wasn't getting that vibe. I think Bucky just, like, sought him out
and
took up this friendship. But, yeah, now his hands kind of are tied. How do you break that news to a good friend of yours?
Yep.
Or maybe
your only friend.
Yeah, maybe he just considers the friendship, itself as an amends because it seems like this Yuri guy is a bit of a loner, too, now that he doesn't have a son. But, So Bucky's in it. You know, our man's has a lot of baggage.
All we see is internal struggle this episode from him.
Yeah, and I wasn't expecting this series to kind of revolve around him dealing with the baggage, but the more that I think about it, the more it makes sense, because he has to overcome that to become the hero that we know he's going to be and continue with the MCU. Right. So
just to move forward, just to blow past, you know, this next scene is just Sam helping out with, you know, plating all the foods, because they do give to, I think that's her business, is literally selling foods, making foods. And he's saying, you know, you can sell plates on the weekends. This is going to be good. Oh, we got to go to our meeting. And he has a line. There's no such thing as on time. You're either early or late. I love that.
Yeah, I'm putting that one in my parenting notebook and just tucking it away for later. No such thing as on time. You're either early or late. Pick one. Words to live by.
I love it. So then it cuts to Switzerland, and Torres made his way over to Switzerland, and he's trying to find the Flag Smashers. He's recording everything. You see he has a phone hidden in his pocket. He's asking around because there's a bunch of people gathered. Do you have any idea what you're supposed to do?
Okay. The only thing that I could compare this to is a Dr. X happening from How I Met Your Mother. That's exactly what the Flag Smashers were hoping. We're hosting. It was a happening. And I was just like, this is a Dr. X happening, but people actually showed up.
Dude, the food plan is racist. The food plan is racist. Yeah. We got to get together.
The fucking Wesleyan. Come to my happenings.
So, yes, Torres is at this happening. He's saying, like, hey, do you have any idea what we're supposed to do? A whistle goes off, and a guy in a mask has a duffel bag, starts dishing out similar looking masks to everybody. And basically, they're just to cause chaos and confusion. An alarm goes off. This dude jumps from this, you know, third floor window, breaking it, lands on the ground. He's carrying other duffel bags. He hands off the bags and he kicks one cop, sends him flying. So he's almost like superhuman. Torres saw that and still tried to go over and arrest him. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, our man Torres is a military trained man. And he, like, first off, just keep some distance. You got a gun, brother. Like, keep 10 feet between you and the bad guy who clearly just yeeted a cop into, like, a building. And he walks right up to him, points this measly pistol at him. Are you kidding me, man? Gets easily apprehended, but taken care of by this juggernaut of a man. And honestly, he deserved it.
Wait a second. Harsh. You say juggernaut? Juggernaut confirmed for Falcon.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, the message boards are going to be going crazy. Juggernaut confirmed. Bingetown TV broke the story. But no, this train of a man.
B-Times, did you say train? Are you is A-Train confirmed?
Shut up.
It's a different universe. A-Train, if there was a crossover MCU The Boys event, that would just break my entire world. So I am hoping for an A-Train cameo.
Did you see the thing that we reposted a while ago, the trailer for the Seven versus the Avengers?
Yeah, I did see
that. So badass.
That was pretty cool.
Badass.
Yeah. Our boy Torres, I was getting a good vibe of him, but he got a lesson from the textbook of Hard Knocks, and he needed that. Captain America didn't become Captain America overnight. He had to learn how to do it, and our boy Torres is going to learn how to become the Falcon, if that's the way they're taking it. Jimmy tells me he's being groomed to become the Falcon.
That's a weird comparison, because Captain America kind of did become Captain America overnight when he got injected with the serum. So maybe a bad example, but yes, I agree. He needs to learn that he is not superhuman. He just got destroyed by this Flag Smasher. So that scene ends, and then we cut back to Sam and his sister, whose name is Sarah. Did I make that up?
I wasn't taking names this episode. Sister. The waitress, the sister, she is just sister.
You were just kicking ass. You weren't even taking names.
Wait, B-Tags, you say the waitress, Always Sunny, the waitress confirmed for Falcon and Winter Soldier?
This way to fucking mute, Jimmy. Guy, man.
Jimmy, you're one more reference away from getting muted. So they're at the bank, and this is the appointment that Sam set up. He's trying to get this loan, and the banker's looking at him. He knows he's recognized him, and he's like, oh, come on, dude, you know me. There's a little wing flutter. That was weird.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, the Falcon, I knew it. Takes a selfie. You know, I didn't want to say anything. I always wanted to be an adventurer. And then he just goes off. He's asking him, oh, how'd you guys even get paid? Oh, you know, that kind of has to do with why we're here, to get a loan and all this
other
stuff. Dude,
this was the least professional bank worker I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, fuck this dude. He was just like joking around while clearly these people are coming for a loan for their small business. Like, fuck off, man. And he's has the audacity to ask for a selfie.
Multiple times.
Yeah, he well, first of all, he takes the selfie without even asking. And then he's like, oh, can I get a selfie with you with your wings spread? Are you kidding me, man?
And that's after he says no, right?
Yeah,
the
that's
first time,
after.
The first time, Sam's like, all right, bro, because he's thinking it's helping him out getting the loan. And then after he says no, unfortunately, we can't help you out. He's like, so anyway, can I get another selfie?
It's like, absolutely not.
So they get denied. The business hasn't been making money for the past 5 years. They get denied for the loan. And then we get the scene with Sam and his sister walking to the car. And my biggest takeaway is that the sister references their father and she says, you know, our dad was a giant in this industry. And I'm not sure if that's just to say that the business was successful before she took it over or if the dad is like a guy that is noteworthy.
Paul Wilson sounds like a piece.
I just want to rewind for a second because it is interesting. And this is the first time they're really talking about it here, you know, with the fact that Sam's going in for this loan and the guy saying, you know, the banker saying, where do you get your money? I see zeros all over the place. And the one thing that he weirdly says is you haven't made money in 5 years. And his sister's like, listen, mother trucker, he was blipped. He was gone.
He
was snapped. But the other thing that is really interesting is they ask, like, how do you superheroes make money? And he says, like, we kind of, like you said earlier, Tags, they kind of work on clout. Like, we just work on goodwill. We don't actually make money. That's why it's just really crazy to think like they're not contractors where they're just like, hey, I mean, now he is probably because he works for the Air Force. But before it's, hey, fight Thanos and we'll give you $1 million once you're done. You know, it's just, hey, you're the Falcon. You got the clout. But he would think that he can go in and just say, hey, listen, I'm a hero. Can you help me out? Can you give me this loan? But the guy was like, after this blip and everyone came back, everyone's asking for loans. We just can't do it.
Ridiculous.
It's crazy. I think that's going to, I don't know. It's a weird thing. I wonder if it's going to become a storyline or not.
So I feel like if you're the Falcon though, or any hero and you need money, you got to just like go to Nick Fury or something and get the funds through SHIELD.
Well, the banker did say, you know, did Stark pay you? My condolences, by the way, which dude, still soft spot. Don't even bring him up.
Actually, that was a part of the conversation with this guy that I did like, Jimmy, like you were saying, how he was kind of like, how do you guys get paid? And he really didn't have an answer because they don't get paid.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. If he wasn't such like an unprofessional narc about it, like I would have liked that a lot more. But
We also learned that Sam's sister is a widow. She says, Miss Wilson, I'm a widow. And
this poor sister has been really down in the dumps just trying to keep a failing business afloat, a widow, like her husband died. Poor Jack.
And then at the end, you know, this the conversation that Sam and his sister have while they're walking to the car, she's saying, you know, you weren't here. I was alone for 5 years with two kids and like I survived somehow. So she didn't blip. And I assume that's why the business is just going nowhere. Because the first of all, the blip happened. So that's enough, you know, half of the entire population leaving will affect your sales, I'm sure.
Yeah, she's been working her ass off. Yeah, nice. She's working her ass off for this past 5 years, and she pretty much said it to him earlier. She was like, Sam, listen, I kept this business afloat for 5 years, but it's time. I worked my ass off. I need to sell this. I need that money because it's just going down and down and down and down. But I do want to rewind one thing, and you guys are going to mute me, but I just need to say this because it's funny. I was actually texting Zach, the comic guy, and he randomly texted me about the episode. And he goes, dude, did you notice that the banker had a red hand? Is that Mephisto confirmed? And I was like,
no way.
He's just making fun of me because of that. Of when I said the mirror, Evan Peters' hand in the mirror was ready. Must be Mephisto. I was like, you dickhead.
That was you. You are always the one to point out like very minute details and make theories out of them. But that one with the Mephisto in the mirror, I was just like, you're reaching a little bit there, Jim.
Yeah, I gave you the call out on the pod because I remember when I texted you and Paul and you were like, I don't know, man.
I wanted to believe. I was just like you're looking so hard and I respect the hell out of that. But I don't know.
I'm saying it anyway.
This scene ends with Sam saying, we're not selling our family's legacy. And that's it. It cuts down to him in the engine room. He's trying his best to get this ship running again. You know, he's kissing the pipes. He's treating it like a baby. He's doing everything he can. Goes up. He's right behind the helm, turns the key, and it sputters out. And he's looking up, and he sees, you know, all the pictures that are posted up behind the helm. It's all of them when they were young, I'm assuming, and his father and mother. Just really sad.
The realization setting in that, you know, we're going to have to sell this boat along with all the memories. But right as he's looking at the photos, he gets a text from Torres saying, get to a secure line. Like, we got to talk about something. And then we cut to a scene. He's back at his house or whatever.
The selfie that Torres sends him is, he texts him saying, yo, I need you to watch this video ASAC on a secure line. And then he sends him a selfie of his face completely destroyed, but he's like scowling. Like, he's like trying to like make a profile pic for Tinder. It's like, bro,
with don't a broken need- orbital.
Yeah, you don't need to impress Sam here.
So that takes us to this next scene of them FaceTiming each other, Torres and Sam, and kind of just talking about this video. And first off, Sam is immediately upset, like, yo, bro, I told you to, like, follow their whereabouts on social media, not engage them. So he's a little bit pissed, but Torres is just like, ah, whatever, broken orbital, I'll shake it off. But Sam also is interested in, you know, did anything else happen after this video? Like, did you see anything? And Torres says, nah, nothing else. I just like had these duffel bags and dip. And he's like, wait a second, you don't think he could be? And Sam kind of just like cuts him off. He's like, I don't know anything yet, but like, just keep monitoring it and keep it between the two of them. And I think what Torres was putting together was asking, you know, you don't think that this could be another super soldier, do you?
Yeah, that's what I got.
That's how I took it as well.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, this wasn't another brainwashed superhuman.
Which, I mean, clearly this dude is exactly that, a superhuman. And they showed us that that's probably the only reason why they give us that scene of him kicking the cop, is to show that this guy is definitely on par with the super soldiers that we've seen.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
So this FaceTime kind of gets interrupted by his sister, who says, oh, you got to watch this. And it's a news conference on the television of a congressman just kind of calling for a new symbol for all of us, you know, essentially just saying this nation is broken. We need the Captain America back. We need this new symbol to unify everyone. And he announces this exactly that, a new Captain America. And we have this absolute JAG, just another guy, shield and all, just comes out and winks at the camera. And Sam is heated to see that shield in another man's hand.
It's your fault, Sam.
It's
your fault. Yeah, I call this guy Squishy Face, and he is just the worst.
Squishy Face.
He winked at the camera. He winked at the camera as it was like zooming up on his face like he was hot shit. And I'm like, bro, you suck. Did you guys notice he had a gun on his right hip?
Yes. So he is John Walker, a.k.a. U.S. Agent. So he is in the comics. He is a very similar storyline. He takes over the Captain America mantle, the government decides it for him, just or for us, and very, very similar situation. You're going to see that he is way more violent than Captain America. The gun is very different, like you said, and he's going to be a freaking problem for Sam. Sam's not going to like that at all.
So he's probably going to shoot and kill people.
Yep.
Yeah, so for me, I don't know anything about this guy. I did no research. I just think he's a new Captain America, and if he's not Sam or Steve Rogers or Bucky, I immediately hate this dude. But Jim, as someone who has the knowledge of the comic books, like, where do you see this character going? Do you think it's going to be exactly like that? Like, he's just going to be this kind of corrupt Captain America, and do you think the Falcon and Winter Soldier are going to have to come in and take him down?
So he becomes U.S. agent actually after he's the new Captain America. So he will, I guess he will exist after this series, but my guess is that he's going to come in as the new Cap. He's controlled by the government. He's going to have not that tight of a leash. He's going to have more violent tendencies, most likely the opposite of what Captain America Steve Rogers is. I don't know how he's going to tie specifically in. Like, I don't know if he's going to necessarily be fully a villain, because we do know that Zemo is going to be the villain for this, and obviously the Flag Smashers. But I really think his reign's going to end in this season, and Sam is going to take the mantle by the end of the season.
I hope so. I don't want to look at Squishy Face anymore.
So, and that is our episode. We kind of ended with Squishy Face becoming the new Captain America.
Sam's face, man. Sam's face at the end was just seething.
Yeah. So kind of my end of episode questions are, the series is Captain America and the Winter Soldier. We saw these two separately all episode.
Or Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Falcon and Winter Soldier, excuse me. We saw them separately this whole episode. When are we going to get them together? Is it going to be... we also heard that Sam was reaching out to Bucky, but Bucky was not reciprocating. Like, how are these two going to get together?
I think the big threat needs to come out. I think Sam's going to figure it out with his boy, Lieutenant Torres, and I think he's going to need Bucky once it all comes to light. I think that's how they're going to get back together.
I'm sorry. I want to see Bucky's reaction to this new Captain America coming out. Like, I want to see Bucky watching a news conference, because I'm sure he's going to be just as pissed as Sam.
Honestly, Brian, this scene, like Paul just said, could bring them together. Just this scene. It doesn't even need to be a villain. It could just be, hey, man, you freaking see this bullshit on TV? Yeah. All right, we need to hang out and talk about this. But seriously, that could be what brings them together, because they both love Steve and they both know that this is going to be a mockery of the Shield.
Their love of Steve, honestly, is what brought them together, because, you know, Civil War, when they're both fighting Spider-Man inside like the airport, and like they were taken out together, and they have this like little back and forth, like, I hate you, like shit like that.
Yeah.
So it is a really good duo that I am excited to finally see them back together. Sam is all over the place. He was in DC, Louisiana, like Tunisia. He was everywhere. Bucky is in New York again, I'm assuming.
He's in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and Jim, you said that in the comics, Sam's home was in New York, right? Not Louisiana. Did you say that?
Right.
I think the reason they changed it for this show was so that Bucky, who was currently in Brooklyn, would be geographically separated from Sam.
That makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That's our episode, guys. And episode one, personally, I kind of kept the bar a little bit lower than WandaVision, which I already went in with a low bar so that it could easily exceed expectations. And I think we have the makings for a pretty good series. Like I said at the beginning, I'm glad that they're fleshing out these two characters of Sam and Bucky, because they both felt like extensions of Steve Rogers, Captain America. So I'm excited to see where they take it. And I think they're all just like, or both of them are going to be dealing with their own baggage as they try to kind of take on this hero moniker, both of them.
If you guys listen to the WandaVision, and I mean the listeners listen to the WandaVision podcast, you know that in a vacuum, I did enjoy the show. And there is a lot of people that hated on it. But if there's one thing, whether you hate or love WandaVision, you definitely can admit that they gave her a phenomenal backstory that's going to matter for the future of the MCU. And they will do that as well for Sam and Bucky. This is going to give them a great backstory. It'll make the fans love them more, give them more to think about. So when they do show up again in the movies, they're going to say, all right, that's our boys.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I mean, I think their first scene together is going to be great. Hopefully it's next episode. I think the show is going to be way more straightforward than WandaVision, which I like. That being said, doesn't mean we can't theorize a little bit. You know what that means? It's a little time for a high or vibe. Might get us in trouble, might get our expectations up too high. But for those of you who don't know how this works, the segment's called High or Vibe, because I'm going to say something and they're either going to say, Paul, you're high and on crack, that's never going to happen. Or they're going to say, Paul, I vibe with that a little bit. I think it could happen. It's a possibility. And they're going to give me a color. They're going to give me green, yellow, or red. Red means they think I'm high. Green means heavy vibe. Yellow, on the fence.
Okay, let's do it.
So my first problem with this is, shouldn't green mean we think you're high?
That's a great point. I'm going to have to restructure this now.
Green should mean the opposite. Yeah. There's a lot of layers to this segment. I like it.
But okay, first question. Higher vibe, Captain America is really on the moon.
Dude, you're high.
I'm going full red. You're high.
Yeah.
If you want a quick story here, the joke that they made with the moon does have a little bit of a history with the comics. The Watcher, who he has a name, but pretty much we can just call him the Watcher. He will be in the What If series. You'll see him in the corner of the comics every time something majorly impactful to the entire MCU Marvel universe will happen. So if something is about to happen in the comics and you're reading it and you see the Watcher watching, you know it's a big deal. He'll be like in the corner. He's like this enormous thing. So anyway, there is a comic storyline where he's replaced by Nick Fury. So there's like rumors like, where's Nick Fury? Where's Nick Fury? And he actually is stuck on the moon watching over the Earth.
Well, now I think Nick Fury's on the moon. That's what you just said to me. Nick Fury is confirmed on the moon.
Is just going with this whole Watcher thing. The Watcher is canon in the MCU because isn't Stan Lee canon a Watcher informant?
I think that after his death, they did canonize that, right?
I think because they showed him in a spacesuit, like talking to this Watcher being, right? I forget what movie that was in. I think it might have been an end credit scene, but that kind of justifies all these cameos of Stan Lee in all the movies, which I absolutely love.
Oh gosh, it's so good.
The MCU is so great at just Easter eggs in general, but they're so perfect and they make them tie in so well. We got another higher vibe.
Oh yeah. So George St. Pierre's character, Jimmy, remind me of his name.
George Batroc, I think.
Batroc. Okay.
I'll
just call him George.
Close enough.
So George and Sarah Atwood, the person that Bucky helped take down again earlier on this episode, George and Sarah are gonna hook up and try to take Bucky down.
I'm going to go yellow on this, only because I can't completely say red, you're completely high. I don't know enough about the LAF or the Sarah Atwood character. It doesn't seem like they would come together and be in cahoots because he said she was like an ex-Hydra operative, and this LAF just seems like a completely different thing. So I'm going to go with yellow, but probably red.
I have a feeling that she is going to be involved, but I don't think she'll be involved with GSP. I think we have the Flag Smashers are going to be the overarching villain with Zemo. So I'm going red.
But do you think Sarah Atwood is going to play a part in this series?
I think with him letting her go, I think she still will play a part since she's a former Hydra informant. She's an informant or an actual agent? I can't remember.
I think it might have been informant.
Okay, maybe not.
He said she's an ex-Hydra pawn.
Yeah.
I think he just said maybe she was not. A pawn for Hydra.
So I think the point was she was still abusing her power, not Hydra specific, just she was abusing her power that she was able to obtain through Bucky.
Yeah, I'm just going to revise my statement and say if any of them are going to be involved for the rest of the season, it will be her, but I definitely don't think they'll be together. So I'll go red.
Say if I see her again, I already hate her guts.
Yeah, these are really, really out there, by the way. I'm doing that on purpose because the next one, the leader of the Flag Smashers, is Bucky.
Red.
So that's zero. Yeah, you're red, man.
Red, dude? Nah, dude, the mask comes with a wig to give you that long hair in the back.
I think it's more likely that he is the new Captain America.
So I'm going to hot take it, and I don't even know if it's that big of a hot take, but I don't even think that super soldier guy that attacked Lieutenant Torres is, I don't think he's the leader of, I just think he's a bruiser for them.
Okay. I agree with that too.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody in the crowd that was handing out the mask or put on the mask is going to be somebody higher up in the Flag Smashers.
Yeah, like somebody he handed the duffel bags off to. Mm-hmm. The only reason I said the leader was because when Torres showed the video to Sam, he said, so this is the leader of the Flag Smashers.
They
might not know it, but okay. All right, this isn't a higher vibe. This is just a question. When's Bucky going to get his long hair back, man? I love Bucky.
The long hair is synonymous with the Winter Soldier. He's going hair.
I agree with Brian. It will never come back, but I freaking love it a lot more when he's got the – I love when he has the mask. Oh, I just covered my face on the as a podcaster. I love when he has the mask and his long hair going.
Love
it. It's a cool look.
total veg. All right. So we know that Sharon Carter is in the show. We haven't seen her this episode, but she is going to be in it. Do you think that she's going to try to sex down Bucky and they're going to be a couple, even though Kat made out with her in Civil War?
I feel like Bucky needs a girl.
Yeah.
To help him through this. I'll go yellow.
That's what I was looking for. I knew I wasn't getting a green.
So I would say, Paul, I would say that, that would be great if it works out that Steve gets to be together with Peggy Carter and then Bucky gets the daughter. That fits very nicely. You know, it's a circular peg into a circular hole. But Bucky's already got a girl. It's that girl that he ditched halfway through a date that he still owes an apology to.
No,
I think we're going to get that apology in episode 2. And that's going to be the love of his life.
Bucky's too old-fashioned and too good of a guy not to apologize. So I agree.
I kind of liked her too. Yeah, she was cute, man. Yuri approves too. Come on.
They didn't give her a name. That means she's not coming back. Last one, and I'm just going to say red for you guys right now. Do you guys remember Unique?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unique is Mephisto.
Red, that's red, red.
Red like Mephisto? Unique red had a red like hand. Mephisto. Did you see that?
Unique's red hand Mephisto.
Picking up the trash. That was symbolism. All right. No, that's all I had. So I'll take – yeah, I got a few yellows in there. I'll take that. The day I get a green.
Well, this is a hard one for Higher Vibe, I would imagine, because it's the first episode. We're still learning stuff. We don't have enough to really theorize deeply. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so that's why I was just, you know, picking at bullshit there. Coming up with nothing.
We'll pick at your bullshit all day, Paul.
Okay. So I just had a few lingering questions. Just, you know, about this end of the episode. Who's the leader of the Flag Smashers? Obviously, we don't know yet. We think it's that guy, but we have no idea. And when will Sharon come into play? Do you think it's going to be next episode? You think it could be down the line? I can't even see a reason right now of why she would be in there unless it was to take down the Flag Smashers or LAF or something.
I want to say, is it daughter or granddaughter?
Probably granddaughter. I've been saying daughter this whole time. But definitely.
Pretty sure it has to be granddaughter.
It has to be a granddaughter. You're totally right. All right. Anything else, guys?
We're still getting our footing here. It's the beginning of a new series, so I can't really make a judgment. I'm excited about what I've seen with episode one, and I'm excited to continue with this show. I really like the characters.
Yeah, I'm excited that they brought out the U.S. agent, fake Captain America, this early as a good cliffhanger to end the first episode. I think that's going to be a great plot for the second episode on to see how Sam and Bucky both react. I'm excited to see Zemo come in. I'm guessing he's going to be the leader of the Flag Smashers. And like you said, Paul, Sharon Carter will be in at some point. I'm going to say maybe like episode 3-ish, 4-ish when they're gearing up to actually have the big throwdown. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it is something comforting about Falcon and Winter Soldier. It just felt great to be back.
Yeah, loved it. Can't wait for next Friday. That's going to do it for us, guys. If you like what you heard, our podcast also covers WandaVision, Season 5 of Magicians, Amazon's The Boys, The Haunting of Hill House and Bly Manor, Star's hit series Spartacus. We cover a lot of good stuff. If you're on the World Wide Web, give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter and hit subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. Once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thank you so much for listening. Red Wing, get those guys off our ass.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.